Hey guys, this is Steve Newland with the Find Your Money Path show. Hey, it would mean so much to me if you just took a couple seconds before you listen to this podcast and left a rating and review. I can't tell you how much that helps other people find the podcast and engage with what we're doing. I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, I've got a special episode for you guys today. I'm joined by a guest. Her name is Amber Blandford. She is a professional organizer with her own company. It's called Joyful Spaces. We're going to get into it in just a second, but go check out her website. It's joyfulspaces.org or her Instagram, and that's at joyfulspaces, J-O-Y-F-U-L-S-P-A-C-E-S, or she's on Facebook at joyfulspaces.org. So go check her out, and I hope you enjoy this episode. On today's episode, we're going to talk about how we can become more intentional, but more importantly, why is it important to be intentional if we want to make a change in our life, whether that's money or decluttering. Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of the Find Your Money Path show. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Amber Blandford. She's the owner of Joyful Spaces, which is a professional organizing company here in Atlanta, Georgia. She's also a member of NAPO, which is the National Association of Productivity and Organized Professionals. And we actually met about a month ago or a few weeks ago, and we just got to talking about there's a lot of similarities between decluttering and, you know, just organizing stuff and things and money and finances. So we're going to go through and talk about some topics that overlap both of those areas. So welcome, Amber. I'd love for you to tell the audience just a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Thank you so much, Stephen, for having me. So part of what I do is help people to declutter and organize their homes. My background is in spiritual care. So I've worked in both hospital and hospice settings, as well as a bereavement coordinator. So I've helped people with the emotional attachments to their stuff, to their things, and help coach them through the letting go process. So I deal with a little bit deeper stuff rather than just the physical.
So let's kind of start, we like to start with the why. So why is it important to be intentional? Do you have any thoughts on that, Amber?
Yeah, I think if you are not intentional, then you're not being clear on your path and on your life choices. And the opposite, so when you are clear and about your intentionality, then you can really direct the life that you want to be living. And that's what I do with my clients, right? That's kind of my tagline, is that I help people live the life that they want to be living. I free them to live that life. So free the declutter so that you can actually spend time out on a boat or traveling or more time with the grandkids or whatever it is that you want. Mm-hmm. But you've got to get clear on your why, because your why is going to guide you that whole time. It's kind of your anchor that you come back to.
If we don't think we're intentional, we actually are being intentional, but like we're just being intentional to not care or to not have a direction.
Right.
So I think either way we think about this, like we are like there, you know, there's an intentionality one way or the other, just to, even if it's not, you know, you might not have the posture of I'm just burying my head in the sand, but if you're just like, I'm just going to like kind of float through and just see how things happen, that's being intentional to kind of let culture dictate what happens. And so this is just, I think that's why it's so important, because, you know, in the world we live in, if we don't have a why or a like a forward looking arrow or, you know, a guiding star, I think culture is going to help dictate that for us. And how often is that ever going to be in our best interest?
Right. Yeah. No.
So that's always the thought in my mind. And like, what's the downside to being intentional? You know, like
the downside?
I don't think there is.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. I mean, I guess if you take it to extreme,
right,
then be harmful, right? So if it means that you now, because you really want to get your finances together, you really want to devote your life to decluttering, that you're excluding other people from your life, right?
That's a fair point.
you're no longer able to go out to eat with your friends because you have to declutter or because you have to save all of your money, right? To the point where it's an extreme. That's what I would offer in terms.
Yeah.
But in general, let's be intentional.
Right. Yeah. So that's a good, yeah. There's an unhealthy level to all decisions, I guess.
Right.
That's a great point. Let's kind of kick off just, and we're just going to do some, a couple ideas and just brainstorm a little bit about ways to become more intentional and just kind of general thoughts around intentionality. One of the ones that I oftentimes lead with, and this comes from my own personal experience, is that I just tend to live in the future. So like, I'm already like, okay, what are my next meetings today? Like what are versus, you know, being in this moment. And so what that can do is create a stress. One of the things that I tell a lot of clients is just to avoid looking 10 steps in the future. So, you know, someone's like, I want to pay off my debt and I want to get it gone now. And then I want to buy a house and I want to do this. And then I want to go on vacation. And I'm like, all right, I know those are good whys, like to have that why in mind. But if you're looking about 10 steps in the future and like that involves like getting married to a doctor and like going, getting your master's and having a career change and all this stuff, you're going to get overwhelmed. So I say, have a goal in mind, have that why in mind, but then like, let's back it up. And so what can you control? Like, what can you do this week? What can you do today? What can you do this month to make progress on that goal? That makes being intentional so much easier to take a step towards.
So one of the things that I think of too, is just to keep it simple and small. Right. And that's what you were saying too. But if you're decluttering, maybe not tackle your whole house or even a whole room, maybe just go to one specific closet or choose one drawer in your kitchen. I like to start with the junk drawer. Everyone has one. It's okay to have one, but it can be organized and it can be efficient so that it's working for you.
And another idea that just came to mind is like, what are some of the barriers that prevent us from taking that first step? Like, is it the, I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is like the unknown, or, you know, like I don't have a plan, I don't have a clear path forward, or, you know, I've just, life's been fine the way it is, you know, it's not, maybe it could be better, but scary to take that first step and to make a change. So I'm just trying to think of some ways that prevent intentionality.
Yeah, I think the fear of the unknown definitely makes sense. A lot of my clients come to me because they're overwhelmed and they feel stuck and they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So in terms of thinking of a house, there's just so much. The volume is overwhelming and they don't know how to do it, right? So decluttering and organizing is actually a skill. It's not something that everyone is born with or that comes naturally to everyone. So they are often just like, where do I begin? It's so overwhelming.
Yeah, no, I could see how that would, yeah, that's how I feel with my car, with all this stuff in my car.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start.
Well, okay, so in that situation, start with one seat, or start with the floors, or start with the trunk. So there are two kinds of approaches. One approach is to do the hardest thing first. Right? It's kind of like the money too, right? So tackle the hardest debt, the biggest debt first, or start with something that's doable and small and get the snowball effect going. So it's kind of like whatever your personality is like, and you know yourself, everyone knows themselves more than anyone else can ever know you. So which one is going to work better for you? So then if you want to look at your car, okay, maybe if the trunk is completely cleared out, you don't have to store things on the floor in the back seat. But maybe because you drive around all day, you really want your back seat and front seat cleared off in case everyone, you know, turn into an Uber driver or someone needs a ride to work or whatever it is, you know, that you have this flexibility.
This sparked a thought that I love to hit on. And that is oftentimes we want to be intentional, but we don't know how are we going to do it. Like we don't know the strategy yet. And that can sometimes, or a lot of times, prevent us from even taking that first step. But one thing I've hit on before, you know, and you hit on the debt issue, like you can either pay off your smallest balance first or your highest interest rate first. Like there's multiple strategies. And I think the thing to at least that's helped me bring clarity to this to clients is you can change your strategy. Like you can try something. If it doesn't work, you can change it in a week or 30 days. Like don't let that, you know, don't let that be the thing that prevents you from making progress. And easier said than done, right? Like, I mean, but that's, I think that's important to highight is that you don't have to stop with the approach.
Yeah. If it doesn't work for you, lose the approach. Don't lose your why and lose the activity. Don't lose your focus of decluttering your kitchen because you don't like this three-step process or you feel like you have to have the other perfect bin. Which leads me to think, too, one of the things I see with my clients is this tendency towards perfection, which maybe on the first glance you think, oh, well, if you're a perfectionist, everything is in order all the time, no questions. But really, the desire for perfection can lead you into this place where you're not moving at all. It leads you to inaction because you think it has to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, then I can't do anything. Versus, you know what? You can clear off some kitchen space, some counter space pretty quickly if you allow yourself to do it and don't get bogged down by the particular way you have to do it, right? Just clean it off.
That's so smart. And I think everyone's got to figure that out for themselves. Like, it's funny. I just noticed this, honestly, maybe like a week or two ago, that I have struggled kind of getting focused, especially like after a meeting. So if I have like meetings all day and then I have admin to do, it's really, really hard for me to like, okay, got to shift gears. But what I've noticed, and even if I don't have meetings all day, if I start my day off with like three like quick little check tasks, then I'm rolling. But if I start off with like a huge project, it's not going to work. But everyone's got to figure that out. And the only way you figure it out is just by trying, you know, you just got to jump into it.
And it's okay. It's everything is okay. Your clutter doesn't define you. You are able to make big change in the world and in your life. One of the things that I taught my clients during our last series, I shared five secrets every professional organizer wants you to know. One of the things I told them is that you are powerful, right? To know your power, to know that you can create action and change in your life and affect and impact your life in a very positive way. You can live the life that you really want to live. It is possible to reclaim your power. To find that inner strength.
I think what starts being intentional, like we all have a thought of like, generally, I think if we were all to say like, I want to lose weight or I want to be better with money, or I would love for my house to be cleaner and more organized. That thought sounds good. But generally, I think there has to be an internal spark of motivation to kind of get started with that. And that there's really no, from what I've seen, and maybe there's somebody would disagree with this, I don't know the ways that can spark somebody internally. Like I think that just has to be like, you have to want it. But what I've seen too often is that people will get that spark and then, oh, and I'm completely guilty of this. We'll get that spark and then all of a sudden we'll be like, man, that would be so awesome if that happened. And then a week goes by. And then nothing happens because, again, just like what you said before, you know, you're paralyzed by I'm not going to do it the right way, or I don't know how to do it, versus just jumping in and trying something. And what I've seen is when we don't capitalize when the fire's hot, so we don't capitalize in that like first couple days of motivation, it's really easy for this thing to then get pushed back another 6 months until we get motivated again. And then, you know, who knows, if you don't use that spark, this thing can just keep going and keep going and keep going. That's why, you know, everyone gets sparked by culture on January 1st to lose weight. I mean, and how many people are out of the gym by February? I mean, that's me. So that's just an easy example of it.
Yeah. And I think too, with the spark, once you have the spark to cultivate it more, pull out your calendar, right? So if you really want to declutter your car, okay, that's a great goal and a great ambition. When are you going to do it? And to create time as soon as possible rather than, oh, I will do it probably, versus if you set a timer for yourself. Right? On Wednesday at 8 a.m. before I leave for work, or maybe 7 a.m. before I leave for work, I'm going to declutter my car for 10 minutes. And then you set your timer for 10 minutes at 7 a.m. and you're already outside at your car with your trash bags, right? Mm-hmm. So you're setting yourself up for success. And then your car is clean in after 10 minutes. And then if you're like, oh, you know what? Now I feel good. I can keep going. Maybe you actually do it for 15 or 20 minutes. Right, but you set that timer. And then I like to give backup timers and backup dates, right? Because life happens. Maybe your kid is sick or somebody's in the hospital or you slept in, something happened, life happens, you didn't make that 7 a.m. appointment. Give yourself a backup appointment, mm-hmm. but commit to that, right? You have to commit, you have to want it, and to push through all those barriers that come up, all of those thoughts that say, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it, it's never worked for me, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, whatever the thing is that's in your head, to say, no, I'm going to do it. Watch me do it. I'm going to do this right now. And I have a timer and I have a date. And then if you want to have an accountability friend or spouse, if you're married, to say, I'm doing this and I'm going to call you. I want you to call me later that afternoon to ask me how it went.
That's great. I think that's a great idea. Accountability is huge. Yeah. And one of the things I tell people with this is, you know, if I'm meeting with someone, they are likely in the middle or have just had that spark of motivation. And probably the same for you. It just takes a level of uncomfortability, whatever the right word is there, to reach out to someone for help on both of these areas, money and decluttering and organizing, because, you know, they're deeply personal things. And so what I tell people to do is, just track your expenses. You don't, like, for a week or two, and just like write it down. Like, you don't have to overcomplicate this thing. Just like take a step, start today. Like, hey, if you had Starbucks already today, great. That's your first one. You know, you've got your date, how much you spent and where you spent it at, and just start a little log. And we don't need to, you don't need to like have a plan for retirement like today. Like, just take a step and see where that goes, and just, you know, you'll layer good behaviors and good habits on top of each other.
Or even like in that situation too, I think you don't have to have the best computer software to tracking your finances, right? And in terms of organizing, you don't have to have container store bins to get organized, right? You don't have to have the greatest and the best, just start with wherever you are. And the other thing that, you know, if my clients are listening, people who are struggling with organizing are listening, what I would want them to know is that everyone feels the same way that you do. You are not alone in this. People are struggling and they're just not talking about it in public places. So you're not alone in your clutter. You're not alone in your struggle with your clutter. And you're not alone with the lack of motivation or feeling overwhelmed or stuck. It's all the same. Mm-hmm. Right? And there wouldn't be an industry of professional organizers if that weren't the case.
What's so interesting to me is that's such a good topic. I can't tell you how often I hear, you're never going to believe this story. You've probably never heard anything like this before. And then I'm like, I can probably fill in exactly where they're going. Because we all think like we're the only one going through it. We think we're all like, we all have that very unique situation. But like in the end, we're all people. We all like live in the same culture. And there are unique components to our story and things, but we're still people in the end. And a lot of people are struggling with this. And a lot of people are having the same, you know, challenges with staying and being intentional. So it's an uphill battle in culture because not a lot of people are intentional. I think it's a minority of people are, for sure. Mm. Which makes it even harder as you're getting started. But it's, you know, that's where the why comes in, is like, why do you, you know, that actually might be what sparks the motivation now that I'm thinking through it. Why do you want to do
it? For sure. That's the guiding mantra. Yeah.
So like, why do I want my car to be clean? It's because I avoid like driving people around. If we're going to lunch with the team, I'm like, I never volunteer because I'm embarrassed of my car. I'm embarrassed of like all the junk in it or all, you know? And so that's the motivation. That gives me motivation to now, after we're done with this podcast, go get a garbage bag and go clean out my car.
Yeah. So can we play with that a little bit?
100%. Yeah. Let's go.
Here? Okay. So why for you, Stephen, is it important to get your car cleaned out?
So off the top of mind, it's just another thing in my mind that I'm always thinking of. Like it's another thing that I have to keep up with. So, if like, you never know, like when you'll need to give someone a ride or if you'll, you know, or if you, or even just getting in the car and like the clutter, just having a clean car just kind of gives you a little bit more, I guess, mental space to breathe.
Mental space to breathe. Okay. Yeah.
That was a long answer.
That's great though, because we have to talk it out. We have to give ourselves space to be able to get to the core of the why. Yeah. So for you, you want mental space to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And why for you is having mental space to breathe helpful? Or what is it that that's going to provide for you?
Well, especially in my car. I would say at my desk.
In the car, yeah.
Like
we're talking only for your car. So we started with, why do you want to declutter your car?
Yes.
So you processed and kind of got to, the reason why you wanted to declutter your car is to have mental space so that you can breathe.
Here's why. My best thoughts oftentimes come either in the shower or when I'm driving. And
awesome.
So I spend an hour in my car a day. And if that space is a little bit freer and less cluttered, then does that impact the thoughts that I have? Does that impact the ideas that I'm coming up with in the car?
Great. So you've got a piece I'm hearing too is some curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. So if I have this clean car, is it possible that I might actually get some really good ideas? Because I already know, even though I have a cluttered car, I'm getting ideas. I might even get better ideas, or they might be clearer, or they might stay with me a little bit longer. So for you, it sounds like it's going to help you become more productive.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you want to have a clean car to be productive.
So that's the why. Is
that's the why.
Yeah. And that, when you connect that back to all I have to do to be more productive or potentially get better ideas is just to spend 15 minutes with a garbage bag. It's like, I can do that.
You can do that.
That's doable. And this applies to everything. That was a good example. I'm glad we kind of worked that out.
Yeah, definitely. And so then the next step would be, okay, pull out your calendar and when are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Right. And then I'm willing to check in with you. If you want to tell me when you're going to do it, I will text you and see how it went, or even call you, which is even more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
In this texting generation. So when do you want to?
I already put it on the calendar for tonight already while we're doing the podcast. So
awesome. That's great. So I'm going to give you actually the whole weekend because life happens. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to check in with you on Monday. And I'm going to check in actually at Monday at 6:00. Does that work for you?
That's perfect.
Okay. I'm putting that in my calendar and then we'll see how it went.
So that is such a good example to everyone listening. And honestly, I'll tell you, we didn't even plan to do that. Like
we did not. That was very spontaneous.
Yeah. So look how easy that was, right? And it just takes a little bit of, you know, and it takes a little bit of outside push. Think of us as your outside push right now.
Yeah.
We're giving you the space to say, yeah, I can be intentional. I can take a step. And just take a small step. Don't worry about 10 steps ahead. Just take a small step. And if you have any questions on, you know, whether it's money or decluttering, just shoot us an email. I'm sure either one of us can give you like, hey, just do this right now and just see how things go. And we'll check in with you. So I'm happy to do that for anybody.
Yeah, me too. And the other thing that I like to use, words are powerful. So instead of making it homework or something that you have to do, I just call it an invitation to practice.
So this is an invitation.
It's an opportunity. It's up to you if you're going to declutter your bedroom closet or if you're going to make a budget. It's really up to you. And you will either have the benefits or the lack of benefits, right? Because of that behavior. You'll feel the tension if you didn't do it, or you'll feel the freeness if you did. Mm-hmm. So I invite you to practice whatever it is that you feel like can help you.
And if you've made it this far into the podcast, clearly you're interested. And think of this now as your spark of motivation, and now go out and crush it.
Yes. Woo-hoo. You can do it.
Hey guys, this is Steve here. I'm coming in for a quick update after this podcast was recorded. So I have to say, I did go out and clean my car later that day. So I got the car completely cleaned. I did it. And it felt great afterward. Now I will say this. Amber had asked me to take pictures of the car before and after and even send them to her. But if I didn't feel comfortable with that, I could just keep them myself. I was so embarrassed of what my car looked like that I didn't even do that. So I felt the shame and the guilt, and I was just embarrassed and I didn't even want a picture of it. But it was great when I got it cleaned up. And so honestly, that's how people feel, not only with clutter, but honestly, I think that's how people feel with finances too, is we're we can be embarrassed about it, and it's really, really hard to open that up to somebody else, to the outside world. But once we break through that barrier, whether it's decluttering or finances, we're so, so glad we did on the back end of it. And honestly, after I cleaned it out, I was kind of bummed that I didn't take pictures, because I was proud of the progress I made. And yes, that's just cleaning out a car, but still, I was proud of it. So I hope that was helpful. Just had to add that in there, that, hey, I went out and did it, and I would love for you to consider taking a step as well.